Hi, I'm Elissa Nicole Trust, an actor and writer living in New York City.
Hey, I'm Lauren Schaffel, an actress and producer also living in New York City.
And we are Positive Creativity Podcast.
Positive Creativity is a podcast where we speak with writers, directors, and other artists about what they're working on, what's inspiring them, and how they stay positive in this industry. We are looking to shed light on all of the wonderful projects happening in New York and beyond.
Our goal is to give creative artists a platform to talk about their work, and to give theater and film lovers the opportunity to learn about more creatives and projects. Thanks for listening. This episode is brought to you with support from Ahava Theater Company. Gina Stevenson is a playwright, dramaturg, and writing instructor based in New York City. Her play, The Colony, was a 2019 winner of the Columbiad Roundabout New Play Reading Series and will receive its world premiere production in August of 2020 at Good Luck Macbeth Theater Company in Reno, Nevada. Gina was a 2019 nominee for the Mentor Project at the Cherry Lane Theater and is an affiliated artist with the Hess Collective, THC. She is the dramaturg for THC's upcoming production of Spoiled at La Mama ETC. She has been a guest lecturer at NYU's Open Arts Program and teaches playwriting at Tribeca Performing Arts Center and the Writers Rock. She has an MFA in playwriting from Columbia University.
Welcome, Gina.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So, Gina, yes. What is currently inspiring you?
Yeah, I love that question because it could be so many things. I'm just inspired that by the fact that like I feel spring is coming, even though it's not really yet. So just on a like emotional level, I feel like that makes me inspired just to work differently. I don't know. I teach writing workshops with adults, and I'm super inspired by my students and just the ways that they are so honest and present with sort of where they are in their processes and the challenges of going through writing plays and screenplays and all these things that allow me to also, like, in a sort of strange loop, be more okay with my own difficulties when I'm having them. I'm just seeing like, oh yeah, you are here and I'm telling you how to get past it, and we can kind of get past those things together. So that's really exciting to me. There's just so much, there's so many plays and movies and TV shows. I don't even know like what to say. I don't know.
Yeah, I was
trying to think about this question because you sent it to me in advance.
It's a very excitingly
broad question. Yeah, and some of the work that, you know, friends of mine are doing, I just like am so inspired by having people in my life who are also kind of striving and trying to make it in these businesses, you know. So I feel like more, maybe right now it feels more sort of like these personal inspirations, you know, and looking to people by my side and slightly above, you know, who were by my side and being like, oh, that's amazing, you know, that you're doing various cool things. I don't really know what to say to this question.
That's
such a good question.
That's beautiful. So speaking of projects, are there projects that you're working on right now, things that you're excited about coming up for you?
Yeah, a couple of things in various stages. A new play of mine that I'm really excited about, it's called Tell Me What I Want, and it's basically about sex ed, but for adults. And that one just had a reading at Urban Stages and is super, super new, so it's exciting to have a brand. Every time I write a play, I feel like that's going to be the last idea I ever have, and I get all nervous that, like, oh, that's it, I've got nothing, you know.
I know that feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
Me too.
So it's been exciting to be super energized by this new idea. And that one also, it's exciting to me because it's doing something that I haven't really done before in my writing, which is part of the goal of it is to have, to really kind of see what it's like to build community with the audience. And so at the end of the play, which is like a comedy, but also sort of about adults at various stages, whether going through menopause or, you know, new challenges with partners or, you know, with themselves or whatever, all kind of being in the same room together, and that the first step to sort of finding answers to these questions and figuring out how to get to know yourself and your body and sexuality is to acknowledge that you even have questions. Because I feel like there's this expectation that as adults we're supposed to just kind of know things.
Right. Have everything figured out.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So at the end, it kind of, the audience is invited to write their own questions down, and then they get read by the actors, and kind of like a classic like question box in your middle school health classroom style. So anyway, so that's been really fun to develop and to think about the audience in a new way. And yeah, and then I have, and the Book of Esther, like you were talking about, it's I haven't really looked at that play in about 2 years, but it's going to have this, it's part of this workshop series in March with Isle of Shoals Theater Company. So I've been rewriting some of that, which has been really fun to get back to something that I really kind of shelved for a while and see what it's like to return to something. And then my play, The Colony, which was also my thesis production at grad school, is going to have a world premiere in August. So that's exciting in a very different way, because it's my first time having a production that's an actual production, you know, so that means that there's actually a budget and all these things, but also in a place that is far away. So I will kind of I'm just going to be there on opening, basically, and see what they've done. And that's very exciting, but also so scary, you know, just because it's your baby and I don't know what's going to happen. Right.
Congratulations on
thank
that.
You.
That's really exciting.
Thanks. Yeah, that's incredible. So, wow, that is all so wonderful. And so I'm so curious, because of Book of Esther, about your background with Judaism, because that play was so beautifully written, and
it
seems like you must have such a tremendous knowledge of Orthodox Judaism and Jewish customs, and you wrote about it so respectfully. And can you just speak to that? And
yeah. Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. My mom is Jewish, so I'm Jewish, but we were sort of like culturally like celebrated the high holidays usually, like even that in my household, just kind of growing up, we were not very religious or observant. But I had in winter of, I think, 2015, I went on Birthright, which I had been meaning to go on at some point when I was like in college and then just didn't. And so it was very interesting to go back as an adult on this trip that, you know, you sort of hear a lot about and that has a lot of contentions within it and whatever it is. And from that, I had a couple of experiences after as well, and I don't know how long of a story you want, that really led to the creation of this play, because I was really, it was kind of a time, for the first time in my life really, that I was thinking about, honestly, the first time I was thinking about how I, like, my own relationship to Judaism, and what that meant for me, and just kind of looking at the larger world around me in Brooklyn, and the ways that there's sort of, we all live in these different bubbles of our own world, and we're all kind of right on top of each other, but don't necessarily know much about each other, you know, or sort of assume things. And I myself too, you know, had found myself assuming various things about, you know, different communities that I would pass but never really have access to. The way that I really got into this play was just honestly doing a ton of research, because I, as far as my own background, don't have any personal, experience with Orthodox Judaism. So I read a bunch of books and various articles. I spoke with, there's this one guy who is, you know, this guy who goes by a pseudonym and does, you know, blogs about things happening in that community. And so we had several long phone conversations, and I sent a draft of the play to someone I knew, a friend of a friend who's in rabbinical school, and sort of all these different ways of trying to do this research. I had kind of partially shelved it for a while because of this question of, you know, it's not where I come from, and it's not something that I have personal connection with or experience with. And so the question of just the responsibility of writing about that when it's not where I come from, and it, you know, is a big question that I have as a writer in general. And this desire, you know, I firmly believe that you can write about things that are not your experience, but that involving the necessary thing in that process is to be collaborating with people who can offer some insight and some perspective. And the difficulty about, you know, writing about the ultra-Orthodox Jewish community is that it is very isolating and very separate. So I sort of tried to just do as much research as I could and really kind of focus on the things that I do know about, which is really, because the core of it is just about, you know, this girl trying to figure out who she is in the world and what she wants to be. And trying not to judge or assume anything about any of the characters in that play. It was mostly research.
I was able to reread Book of Esther recently because, we had sat down and read it at one of the Ahava Theater Company readings. It really struck me the humanity that you gave to the Orthodox community, to that particular family. But also, how relevant it is to conversations that are still happening with ultra-Orthodox communities today within New York. Those kind of tensions that exist.
It really
made me think a lot about things that are still happening now.
And I loved how at the beginning of the play, before it even begins, you say that these are not stereotypes, that they're real people, and it was beautiful, and it really, I think, informs the rest of the script, and I think that as an actor it would inform how one would play these roles. And I would actually argue that this is absolutely your story. Your mom is Jewish. You identify as Jewish. You went to Israel just because you did not necessarily grow up in an Orthodox community. I would say that as a Jewish woman, you absolutely have the right to the birthright to write this story.
No pun intended.
Never.
I actually had a similar experience with my play Observance, which is about a young Jewish woman who becomes observant while studying abroad in Israel, because I grew up pretty much Reform, and though Judaism was extremely important in my family, we were not observant, and I was exposed to religious Jews for the first time when I was in college, and then when later after college when I was in Israel for half a year, and I was really inspired to write about it, and Observance was almost my imagination running wild if I had decided to become observant, and which is something that my family had been really worried about. And it also was a tremendous research project for me. It was also a project in which I had to collaborate with a lot of the observant Jews around me. Our friend Harrison, who played the rabbi in Observance, and grew up in a, I would say, modern Orthodox family. He almost became like the dramaturg of the project, even though he wasn't literally. And he was so tremendously helpful. There were things that, you know, people would correct me on in the various stages of the process. Like, actually, I think you would use you'd use this word versus this word, and things that like were just knowledge gaps for me as a less observant Jew. But I do think that, you know, your work is not for everyone. And there was a reviewer who did come and express that she felt it was not my place as a Reform Jew to be writing about the Orthodox Jewish community. And this isn't the only play in which I've done that.
That's true.
But I'm so fascinated by it. And I, you know, and that really that feedback really bothered me at first. It made me feel like I had done something wrong, or was it my place? But at the end of the day, I agree with you that as writers, we have to be able to write about things that aren't only our own experiences. Yeah. But also, I felt, you know, at the end of the day, I am a Jewish woman. We are all Jews. And that's kind of the main message of the play itself, is that we're all Jewish. Why are we divided by these sects of Judaism, Reform, Conservative, Orthodox, which, in my opinion, are actually pretty American anyway. And so it is absolutely my place to write this story, and I firmly believe that. So that was a really long-winded way to say that. It is absolutely, you just wrote so I love the play so much, and you wrote so beautifully about Judaism. I hope you continue to write about Judaism as a Jewish woman.
Thank you.
I'm interested in your other work as well.
Right, right. But yeah, no, I totally. And I think you can always, there is a way you can tell, like, the intention. You can feel if the intention of something when you're reading or watching a play or something, you know, like, if respect and is part of the approach that the creators have, I do feel like you can kind of feel when it's there and when it's not there. So, so I really appreciate that. And that makes me feel more encouraged.
Yeah, thank you.
You said there's going to be further development of Book of Esther.
Yeah. Cool. So it's going to have a couple of performances in March through this workshop series of some new plays. And so I've been the second act, especially of the play, I've been sort of really rewriting. And it's interesting, even, you know, it's not that I wrote it so long ago. 2015 was when I started it, but there's a couple of things in it that I'm like, that just the way, you know, that sort of today, feel, I'm like going back to them and sort of just bringing more nuance, I think, to the ways that some conversations are being had. Most, you know, around sexuality and around like sexual abuse. I mean, it's not quite sexual abuse, but, you know, just sort of, that just luckily the conversations are different today. And so it's been really, I've felt really excited to go back to the play and kind of rewrite some of those things with a little bit more of what's happening in the air now, kind of as the subtext a little bit.
That's cool.
Yeah. It'll be in March, and I'll send you an invite.
Very exciting.
Amazing. Yeah. By the time this episode comes out, I think we'll have passed that.
Oh, okay, but, sure. It was in March. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Oh. Great. Cool. Yay. So, yeah, in that process kind of what you were talking about, Alyssa, with feedback and kind of the ups and downs sometimes in this business, are there any ways that you find to stay positive when things are maybe rough?
Yeah.
Or you get that feedback that you're like, ooh, that hurts a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such a necessary thing to find. And often it's what might have kept me positive in one moment or one process is not the same. Like, I feel like it's an endless kind of quest for what continues to keep you positive. For me, it's so much though about the people. It's about not letting myself feel isolated in the creative process. Just this week, I was working on this new draft of a new project that's a totally different one, and I just every day kept. I blocked out all this time to be writing, and every single day, I would find myself and I'd realize that I was doing it just, you know, like, oh, well, this dish is a really cool dish I should try cooking. And like, this necklace is really tangly. I should untangle this necklace for 20 minutes. You know, I just found myself like avoiding all these things. And I felt so, after 3 days of that had went by, I just felt so down. So, you know, kind of guilty and like angry at myself. And then I told someone who I trust that I was feeling that way. And I asked them to read what I had so far of this draft, and we just sort of talked about it, and like something clicked. You know, it wasn't like we sort of had a eureka moment of, oh, this is the problem that I've been struggling with to fix. It was really just, you know, remembering that I'm not alone in this process and in this creative world, and finding the people and continuing to go to the people who make me feel that way, you know, who make me feel alive and like there is a reason that I'm doing this, you know, and people who believe in you, you know, and then I just sat down and was like, okay, I wrote a little bit, you know, and that was enough. So I feel like it's so much about people for me, especially as a writer, where you can just spend so much time alone in a space looking at a screen, you know, and I think I lose myself in that often if I do that for too long. So that's one thing. I love, you know, having writer's groups, and even if I'm not sharing, just being in those spaces where you've other people, kind of like with the classes that I was saying before, just being in with other people who are also, you know, honest about the fact that it's a challenge. Nice. I do not find inspiration or creativity or positivity from like the sort of success, the ways that people present themselves with the success of being like, well, all I do is, you know, I just have to wake up at 5 a.m. and go to the gym for 4 hours and then write for 8 hours. And, like, that's all you have to do, you know? And those stories make me feel really bad about myself. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think being honest about when it's hard weirdly makes things so much easier, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so that's a big one. And then just, like, knowing it's okay to stop actively working, you know, knowing that my brain is, like, working on things subconsciously. So, you know, going outside for a walk and making a meal with a friend, you know, just those kinds of things that feed my soul. Inevitably, there is that balance of, like, if I, as a person, am not feeling happy or fulfilled or around people I love, then, you know, that will definitely affect my outlook on my creativity, too.
Yeah, that's really inspiring to hear. Because, yeah, I feel like in all aspects of this business, it can feel sometimes like you're alone, right? Yeah. Like you're alone on the path or trying to, move forward and you're in your creative process. But, yeah, that's really actually part of what inspired this podcast was to create that more of a sense of community, to make the world feel a little bit smaller, right? To know that, yeah, everybody has these periods of kind of ups and downs in the creative process, and how important it is to have those people that you trust and value.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, and also art is meant to be shared, and I do definitely feel that way, too, sometimes, that... You know, I was so proud of myself for a while when I cultivated this habit of writing for 1 hour every single day. I do still have a full-time job and I'm also an actor, and so sometimes it could just find hard to make time for the things in life that I really want to be doing, and like I have all these ideas but I don't actually have time to sit down and write them. But then I actually realized at one point, probably about a year ago last winter, that I had for like 3 days in a row, I worked from home all day, and then I made dinner by myself, and then I wrote my play, and then the only person I saw was my fiance when he came home from his Broadway show, and that, because I was like, why am I not happy? And I just realized it's because I wasn't collaborating with people, and so that helped me to make a conscious effort to, that I think that experience actually like really changed the game for me. Now it's like the complete opposite. It's like always like, come over, read a play, like let's collaborate this way. We have the podcast, we have the reading series, all these things. But yeah, I think it's so important to in so many ways when you're stuck, when you're not stuck, to lean on your community and to just build this, like, I don't know, like this, I don't know the word to use, but just like build around you like an army of people who support you,
totally.
and like-minded artists. This one of the things that we're so big on personally is like this business is not a competition, and so just like being around people that want to see you succeed and stuff is really important.
Yeah,
definitely.
When you do have work going on or reading or something happening, how much do you like to be involved in the process of that? Do you like to be sitting in on every rehearsal, or do you like to kind of take more of a back seat and just come on opening night?
Yeah. I love being in as much rehearsal as I can. Even if, you know, I don't know that I think this play that's happening in Reno is like the first time I felt like, okay, this play is pretty much done. And so
this is The Colony.
This is The Colony, yes.
Great.
Other than that, I think every play of mine, it's like, I probably, you know, there's so much more to do on it, probably. And being in rehearsal is really the only way for me to learn what that is. Because it's sort of that thing of being alone in front of the screen that, like, I often don't know what's in front of me or what I've even written. And other people are like, oh, it's so clearly about this. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess it is about that, you know.
If you say so, sure.
Which is such a magical thing. And that's part of, and so in rehearsal, you know, even just sitting in the back, like I like to be there but not super present, because I love the process of seeing people figure out, have questions and, you know, not answer them myself, and see if people come to the answer that I would have given them, you know, like that is the best feeling because it means that all the information is there.
Right.
And then of course it's like deeper in the bones of whether it's the actors or the director or whoever is like asking the question about the play or a scene or a moment. So I love that. And I just, and like being in the room also, I think it's that positivity question, you know, of like being in the space and like you were saying, Elissa, of sharing, like art has to be shared. And especially when you're in theater, it's like there will be an audience and there will be people. People are an essential part of the process. So even just sitting there and like, even if I'm not making changes to the play, it just feeds my soul. Like mm-hmm. that space makes me so positive and so eager to keep writing and to do the next thing.
Cool.
But then also I've just learned so much about moments that are not working that I didn't realize weren't working until I actually see in process people struggle with those moments, you know? So for me, it's the best way to rewrite work as well.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, so I'm scared about this whole Reno thing because I will just be showing up. Although the people there, the artistic director, has been very in communication, which has
That's
been great. But still, at the same time, it's just kind of like, you know.
Right, like you said, fear. It's your baby.
It's my baby. Right. Yeah. What have you done with my
going
baby?
Going across the country.
Yeah.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's so exciting. And how did you get this opportunity in Reno?
So this was just a thing that I applied for. This particular theater has a new works initiative, so their whole season is really your sort of typical regional theater season, and then they have one slot, though, that they do a production of a new play, and so they just had sort of a call. And it was one of the many things. I keep a spreadsheet with like all my submissions, and it's like a nice, long, big document, which even the rejections, like, give me, there's some joy in placing them onto a space. Like, I think that this is not that question, but exactly. But I love keeping track of everything I've submitted to, partially because it's fun to see if I receive that email of like, sorry, you didn't get this, to not just be sort of like feeling that in myself, but be like, okay, I'm going to put that information into this document, and then I can kind of let it go, you know?
Definitely.
So anyway, so this was just one of the many, many things that I've applied to, and and just sort of happened to get it, which was very cool.
That's
awesome.
Wonderful.
Yeah, congrats.
Thank you. Ooh. Thanks. Yeah.
And you had mentioned before writers groups, so I know that you are teaching, which is so awesome. And are you in any writers groups as well?
I right now I'm not in any official formal ones. Essentially, there's like two things, which are mostly people from grad school that we've kind of like created different opportunities to just share work every so often. I'm smiling because one of them I'm really excited about is just about to start, that a friend of mine who was a director, we had like created it was like once a month in the living room, people could sign up for slots, like 10 minutes, and you could just share whatever, and you know, actors and writers, and you could just listen and give feedback and whatever. And it was really, really fun. And then one of the playwrights who went to grad school with me, we were talking, and we're going to have the first of this with this thing that he's calling Show Us Your Worst, where he found this bar in the Lower East Side that has this like amazing, it seems like a sports bar, but it's got this like karaoke, what do you call it? Just like speakeasy kind of back room.
Ooh.
With like tables and
what is the
stage.
Name of that bar?
I don't remember. It's in my phone, which I don't even
have,
but I'll tell you. Yeah. I'm trying to remember.
I work on the Lower East Side,
so
I'm like,
amazing.
Maybe we've had like happy hours there.
Yeah.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah. So he's starting this thing where now it's like once a month, you know, we can go there. And so it's just cool to see those things growing. So nothing like a formal, but just really getting people who I trust in a room together with some, you know, accountability of knowing that it will happen regularly is like, ooh.
Hey. So I totally forgot to introduce Veggie.
Our fourth today.
So we're joined today by my dog, Benji Kimmel Kaufman, at Benji the Mauled Poet on Instagram. And he's been pretty quiet,
but he's also a good guard dog.
He's a great guard dog, and you know, sometimes he gets noisy when there's when the people get off the elevator. So sorry for the interruption.
Yeah, or when we talk about writers groups, he's got opinions.
Yeah, Benji is an excellent collaborator.
Oh,
I have written 100% of everything I have written has been with Benji on my lap.
That's amazing.
So
great.
Yeah.
Love that.
Sorry.
No, that makes me want a dog.
We should also point out that Benji is wearing a green tracksuit that says Adidog.
Indeed.
Yes.
The Adidas stripes are just little dog bones.
So I wanted to ask you too, before we feel like starting to wrap up here a bit, what hobbies do you have outside of writing that bring you joy and kind of keep you inspired?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've become super into cooking in the last like year or so. Nice. I am not someone who can just like create recipes, but I've been like really actively searching all over the place for ones and like curating them into like a special folder. So I love that, and I love like finding new combinations of ingredients, you know, all those things, and then something that actually like nourishes your, like something you can experiment with and create and then actually like enjoy because it's delicious. It's like my favorite kind of hobby.
I was like, you're preaching to the choir,
right
here,
yeah,
because between the two of us over here also, Alyssa is vegan. I have celiac disease, so gluten-free, everything, so it's always about finding recipes that can actually eat.
For sure. So that's one thing. Cool. I recently joined this dog walking service, which is very fun. I would call that a hobby because I just like get to hang out with dogs and I love it. I don't know. Yeah, I feel like I wish I had like cool. I feel like I've got everybody's hobbies. Like
those are
I also
cool.
like to read. You know what I mean? Like, I've become. I like never was a person who worked out regularly. Like ever in my life, and always wished that I was. And over the last, like, actually, it was the only successful New Year's resolution I've ever had, and it's like the classic one where you're like, "That's never gonna happen." Where you're like, "I'm gonna go to the gym."
Yep.
And it was like 2 years ago, that I was like, "I want to go to the gym every other day," and I almost did that for the first year, and now I'm just like doing it very regularly, and it feels so great. So that's like not a hobby. I hope that's not my hobby. I don't want to be like, I go to the gym.
No, that's amazing.
But it's felt so great. And again, with the whole like positivity, like just, you know, leaving the space of like sitting and, you know, whatever, and like moving my body is just like so exciting. I don't know what my other hobby is.
That's
amazing.
That's a lot.
That's actually a lot. So I feel like a lot of people have hobbies, but they're actually kind of related to their careers.
Totally.
Like,
true.
Like I would say, like my hobbies are, like playing ukulele and soon piano, getting piano lessons. Because as you can see, we just got a piano. My fiance is a player professionally.
Wow.
And but I don't really play. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a hobby, but I'm also kind of like in the back of my head, but that will open up if I become really good at these instruments, like that'll be really good for me as an actor. Mm-hmm. So like those aren't real hobbies, you know? So I feel like it's really cool that you have hobbies that are just not related to being a player.
Totally. But I think, the important thing is if it brings you joy, like regardless of whether it's gonna help career-wise.
What happens later,
That's true.
Totally. I just also started two of my best friends from growing up, like we've known each other since preschool, we just started a like book club informally where we're rereading like the fantasy books that we used to love when we were all like in middle school. So that's been a really fun hobby too.
What have you read recently?
Well, so we just recently started, so we always read the Alana, like the Tamara Pierce books, if you ever read those.
Oh, yeah.
Her, like the Song of the Lioness was one of her series that like I loved as a kid, and it was like about this girl who pretends to be a boy so that she can learn how to be a knight, and it's just like,
oh sweet,
so good. So we're like rereading those together, and that's been like a fun little thing.
That's awesome.
That is so cool.
Wow.
I joined a book club recently as well, and sometimes I feel bad when I don't finish the book. Like people go around and alternate choosing. Sometimes I'm like, I'm super into this book, and other times, oh wow, I read one chapter, not my cup of tea.
Right.
But it is fun. It is really fun to sit around and again, talk about art, talk about writing.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
That's amazing. And so you write every day?
I don't. And for a long time, I had a lot of guilt about that because everybody always told me, like, to be a writer, the real writer, you know, you write every day. I just never could do that, and partially it was not couldn't do that, but I just like never found myself doing that. And would always just assume that was my laziness and my like lack of commitment or something. But when I just decided to like accept that my process is not that, is like to write, you know, sometimes I'll honestly go like a week and not write, and then the next week maybe I will write every day, or to write every other day, or once every 3 days, you know. And just to, I was like, what if I just switch how I feel about the thing that I'm already doing that is working for me, and just say that that's my process and that it's a positive thing. And that, and it just like is a easier said than done, obviously, but just kind of was a switch that I made for myself to see like how that would feel. And and it's been really great to just sort of claim that. And it's something that I tell my students a lot too, because I think the feelings, the thing, the ways that we as like we create for ourselves these feelings of guilt and shame that are just being put on ourselves by us, you know, it's not really anyone else making us feel those things, but they can be so debilitating. So why do we do that to ourselves? You know, maybe, and maybe, you know, of course there's a limit where if you really, really wish you were doing more, then like, yes, you need to find ways to make yourself do more, you know, and change some habits or whatever it is. But yeah, but I was just so tired of feeling those, that shame and that guilt for this thing that actually just is not what works for me. Mm-hmm. So I don't really have a regular writing process. But I write from home. I don't know. Right these days, at least, I like can't really write in cafes because I always am distracted by like wanting, you know, a pastry or something.
Yeah.
And like libraries are too quiet. You know. So write from home and sometimes go a little while without writing and then just find a way to forgive myself whenever those feelings kind of come up, and then the next day try to write, you know.
Cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
I'm curious too about the process of like what inspires you to maybe start writing a story.
Yeah.
Is it like an idea that you have like for Book of Esther where you like, I really want to delve into talking about Orthodox Judaism, or is it like a current event or something that inspires you?
Totally. Yeah. It's, so I often, a lot of my projects I think have been like stories that I've read in like, you know, something that's happening in the world, or like in my, I have this subscription to the New Yorker that like plagues me because they keep piling up, but often one every like five New Yorkers, there's an article that's like strikes an idea for like, oh, that's a really interesting thing to research. A lot of them begin with this, with something that I'm interested in researching. Like I don't really have, I don't know that any of my plays I've just, you know, kind of drawn from something that I was already thinking about or an experience of mine that was like just at the starting point. Everything really has started with like, oh, I wonder about that, and this desire to research in some way, whatever that research might be. Cool. And yeah, so I have this whole list in my phone of like all those, all like, you know, a link to some article that I read that like will remind myself of what that was. A lot of the times there's some science in it too, because I really love like plays that have some like science kernel, because I just enjoy that research. And also I used to like, I still love sci-fi as a genre, and I used to like want to write in sci-fi.
Oh, sweet.
But then I just kind of like would get lost in the like fact that you can create all the rules of the world, and that was just like overwhelming to me as the creator. So instead now I'm just more taking the like science kernel and seeing how that can inspire something.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, this has been so wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yes,
I'm so inspired by you and all of the work that you're doing. And I'm so excited to continue to follow your work. And I hope that our listeners have been as inspired and overjoyed as I am.
Yes. Thank you, Gina. And yeah, wishing you so much luck and success with Reno and March coming up.
Yeah. Thank you. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening. We always love hearing from you. You can email us at positivecreativitypodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram at positivecreativitypodcast. And for more info on our guest today, please view the show notes. Join us next time on Positive Creativity Podcast.